Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Chopin the Bulldog.
John Clayton is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. And by Leah Honda. You'll love the deals at Leah.
This man, John Clayton, the man has covered many Super Bowls, votes for the Hall of Fame. He's so good, he can cover a team's sideline from his house across the country. That's how good he is. Not many people can do that. Punk rock enthusiast.
You need
sources, and you need industry. John Clayton with us here on the West Her Hotline. John, what's new?
Hey, looking forward to doing the Bills sidelines in that Seahawks game. So that's going to be in, 3 weeks?
Is that all? Man, I guess. Pretty soon.
Well, yeah, pretty soon. I mean, they get the bye week this week, the Seahawks do. Then they come back and they go to Arizona. They host San Francisco and off to Buffalo.
Bills have Chiefs, Jets, right, Bulldog, then Patriots, then bye, then Seahawks? I don't know. Well, I guess you could look that up.
Yeah, I have it. Hang on.
Yeah, wouldn't you consider the Jets game a bye?
No, I'm not calling for that.
It's okay. Jets, Patriots, Seahawks, Arizona, then bye.
Okay. So three games, then Seattle, which is just what you said, actually. So very good. That'll be a nice little game. But first we have another nice little game. And before we get to that, let's talk about the Tuesday game, the first of its kind in many years. At Tennessee, John, they got it done, right? They got the game in with all the difficulty along the way with the Titans. They got it in. How do you feel about how that went, and how do you think people around the league feel?
I don't think too good, because what you're looking at, here's a Tennessee Titan team is seemingly now pointing their fingers and like, see, you didn't trust us and all that stuff, when they pushed everything back and juggled everything in the AFC. I mean, again, you saw the three pictures and different pictures of that where you had Ryan Tannehill at one practice field with 16, 17 players. That was on another day. You had the defensive guys there. I mean, the three times they gathered in groups when they knew that was illegal and spread the virus, because it kept on going each day. One or two or three people ended up being added to the list. And so look at the shuffle that it caused. It caused Pittsburgh to now have to go, 14 weeks without a bye week, because they had to take the bye week in week four. That's not good. I mean, they've juggled everything and, pretty much negatively affected the Bills, because then they had to wait for the Titans, and then the Titans come out after 2 weeks and, kind of rubbing it in with a 42-point game. That's not good. And it's saying, even going on social media and saying to all the critics, again, I cannot believe that they've not come up with some kind of a major penalty against this team for what it ends up doing. Then it takes the what was supposed to be a Thursday night game tonight, which would have been great, Kansas City and Buffalo, moving it back to Sunday, giving the chance for the Bills to now face a team that's going to have a little bit more rest. Because remember, they were going to go Kansas City 3 games in 10 days, and they would have been worn down. Now they're not going to be worn down as much. Then it also, for example, this affects like the New England-Denver game, because that caused the problems moving things back like that. So all of a sudden, here's Denver and New England, which was supposed to be on Monday night. That moves to Sunday, And if the game had played Monday night, you would have no Cam Newton, no Stephon Gilmore, and now the Patriots are going to have Stephon Gilmore, most likely, and Cam Newton. Ridiculous.
Yeah, this Chiefs-Bills game is Monday night, by the way.
Monday night, sorry about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. So you mentioned they haven't come up with a penalty. Like I didn't pay a lot of credence to the statement Jay Feely gave at the beginning of Tuesday night's telecast on CBS, but he intimated that he had talked to the commissioner and that, like, they had found no wrongdoing, basically, is what that sounded like. I mean, I don't know. What, did you make anything of that? And are you assuming there is still punishment coming, or are they get out of jail free now?
I can't imagine them getting get out of jail free. Now, I've now realized over the last 10 years, as tight as I am with Roger Goodell, and I've got a very good relationship with him, is that I can never figure out when they go for penalties. It's all over the place. There's no pattern. There's no policy. I mean, it can go any different way. So that's always a guessing game, and I usually guess wrong. But in this case, I mean, tell me, you know, they said, oh, they did open in the protocols and all that stuff and open in the investigation, but 24 people were affected. And, of course, look how the effects are, because it came at the worst possible time for the AFC, because this is a cluster when you have all these good teams, the top teams in the AFC, all meeting. And now they're juggling the schedule, moving things around like that. And, you know, I think it has an impact on what's the playoff race right now in the AFC. Because, you know, they're all AFC games.
So far. How about that Tennessee looked great, by the way? Like, they had almost no practice time. You know, this goes against sort of football culture and, you know, ideology, maybe, that you're supposed to first one at the office, last one to leave. You know, the Titans did whatever work they could, I guess. You know, you want to assume that or give them that, but they couldn't practice, John, and they played like that.
I would stun me. I guess it's a tribute to Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff, you know, because you know, they may not have had any control over what happened as far as the pandemic and the spreading of the virus and that big spread, but certainly he had control of that team, and they played well. And I guess so much of it has to do with Ryan Tannehill. You know, if you look at Ryan Tannehill, since he took over the starting job, what was it, 16 games ago, in his 16 games, he's put up numbers very similar to Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm, as far as completion percentage, quarterback rating, yards, touchdowns, all those different things. And, you know, it's like you knew that he had talent, but he's playing at the highest level he's ever played. And here he did this game in a time when, how do you do this when you're not on the practice field for 2 weeks? I mean, the only thing they had was a Saturday kind of mid-walkthrough to try to go over things. I mean, but it does show good coaching by Mike Vrabel and great quarterback play by Ryan Tannehill.
Well, you're saying it's a tribute to him. Maybe it's an indictment of him.
Maybe
we don't even need him.
Just yeah, that's true.
Roll the ball out. Hand the ball to Derrick Henry, and Tannehill's good enough, like a lot of quarterbacks this year, to make it look really good. I mean, I don't want to slight him or any of these other guys, but what a year so far at that position. Anyway, we've talked about that a number of times. So where does this put the AFC picture for you, with the Bills losing to Tennessee, even like that? Does it scramble it or not?
It scrambles it without question, because now, let's say, for example, if the Bills, because, you know, it was funny, because when I was going through and trying to pick the Super Bowl contenders and all those different things, I did that for the Washington Post over the weekend, and so it's like, okay, you still have the top three teams. And that's in whatever order you want to put it. I mean, Kansas City, obviously, number one. You know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And we'll see when those two teams meet who's going to win that one. And then I was starting to put, you know, the next two were going to be, you know, Buffalo and Tennessee, because I thought they were going to be in the next mix. And so it's like, okay, we'll see how they play. And so, boom, here comes Tennessee with the blowout win over Buffalo. And so that drops the Bills down, and now going against the Kansas City Chiefs is not going to be easy. And then you have New England starting to sneak up there. So I still think that they're still in the Super Bowl mix, but now they've fallen, I think, into being the number five team in the AFC. With you know, here's the Patriots coming back with a defensive player of the year and a former MVP quarterback, trying to at least catch up a little bit and get out there and get at least to 3-2.
Is it like a crash to earth for Josh Allen in your view, John, on Tuesday night, or do you think like he's still, you know, someone that can be the pilot of a high-powered passing game?
No, I think it was just a bad game. I think it didn't help that John Brown was out of the game. That, I think, played a little bit into it because, you know, the one thing this team has been so good at, particularly in the first four games, is in three receiver sets, you know, it's the speed of Brown, the playmaking ability of Stephon Diggs, what he was able to do, and certainly, inside slot work that Cole Beasley does. So you have to just write it off as a bad game because, I mean, it's like, okay, if you think he's regressed, and then what do we do with the first four games? First four games, he played phenomenal. I mean, he had MVP-type numbers.
You talked about the Patriots a little bit with Newton and Gilmore. How do you compare the two teams now through five games for the Bills, four for New England?
I give the edge right now to Buffalo because, again, like so many teams, it's like, okay, they've got a good defense. We know that. But also, when you're matched up in a league right now where offense is so key, where you've got quarterbacks that have rhythm because there's no holding penalties and, you know, you don't have those game-stopping penalties that really hurt you. As the fact that, you know, you're on the road, the offense has an advantage because there's no crowd noise for the most part. So, you know, I still have to give them the fact that it's going pretty well, but I still, you know, New England to me still have some weaknesses, not as far as pass coverage. I mean, they're about as good as you can get, but particularly their three man-to-man cornerbacks, but they still have some weaknesses in the front seven that I think can be exposed.
You know, we have Le'Veon Bell as a free agent here, at least for the moment, and New England is often the first team people think of for this kind of situation, like that New England finds a way to those guys, and it isn't always what happens, but it's there that way for a reason. And there was a report that New England called on Bell, but at this moment, it sounds like it's down to Kansas City and Miami, and the Bills have been mentioned over the course of the day as a contender as well.
Yeah.
What do you think about him at this point in time, John? The Jets didn't get much out of him. They spent a lot of money on him. Is he somebody, if you were any of these teams, that you would want to take a chance on?
Well, first off, the one thing I think you can see when he makes decisions, it's baffling. You know, because he made the decision to skip the $14.55 million in the franchise tag because he wanted more money from Pittsburgh, and so he missed on that. Then he goes to a Jet team with not knowing that the coach didn't want him because he doesn't want to pay a running back. So you can see how well that worked out. And, he gets $13.1 million thinking, oh, I'm going to be in good shape, but he's never going to be able to make up the money that he lost by not playing for Pittsburgh. That's bad. And so now what I can't understand, and again, this is because, you know, Le'Veon Bell maybe certainly one of the best backs since coming into the league. He's been that good. He looks off right now, but now what you look at is that his thinking on business decisions is brutal. And what I mean by that is, okay, so you're going to Kansas City, possibly. Okay, you do have a good chance to go to the Super Bowl, but you're a backup. You're not going to start ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, Clyde, right now, that's the leading candidate as far as running backs for Rookie of the Year. He's that good. And you know he's the best type of running back that Andy Reid's ever had. I mean, better than Shady McCoy, better than maybe other backs that he's had through the years. And so that, to me, is baffling. And you're going to go to Miami? They're not going to win. And so it's like, you just shake your head at his logic. I mean, he ends up going to now what's turning out to be one of the worst teams he could have gone to, the New York Jets, and now he's going to either go to Kansas City as a backup and, you know, collect whatever money he's getting right now from the Jets, or he's going to go to Miami and go in a losing season. I don't get it. Bills would have been the best choice. Bills or the Bears would have been the best choice.
Yeah, maybe Miami's going to throw a bunch of money at him and have him for more than just 1 year, and these other teams that are contenders maybe only want to just have him for, like, rental purposes, basically, and maybe that's the difference, John. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. It's like, okay, how much money is he going to get? Because what they're looking at is that, you know, he's got $8.5 million base guarantees, and, you know, and any dollar that he gets, there's an offset that gets the Jets off the snide and gets them off the payroll as far as that goes. But that's why, for the most part, if he goes to Kansas City, he's signing for the minimum salary, and the Jets are going to pay the rest of his $8.5 million salary. And again, it's like, okay, I guess going down to Miami, it's a non-tax state, so you don't have to worry about anything in that regard. But to me, I mean, you know, as good as he is as a talented running back, catching the ball, running the ball, he's made the worst decisions possible as far as what he's doing with his future and past.
John, no doubt you've heard the phrase, running backs don't matter, as we look at lots of running backs who've gotten big contracts and then been replaced after an injury and the replacement did as well or better. Where are you on that? I feel like most of the time when you talk to people who've been around the game, for the longer they've been around the game, the less they like this suggestion that running backs don't matter. What kind of merit do you feel like it has?
Well, running backs matter, but the difference is that they don't matter as much as five other positions, because the five more paid positions and the five more valuable positions, quarterback number one, and then whatever order you want to put it, you know, the wide receiver, the cornerbacks who cover the wide receivers, the tackle, particularly left tackle, and the pass rushers. You know, those are the ones that get the big pay, and then, you know, if you're lucky, you might be able to get a good contract. But again, you realize, I mean, you know, I look at running backs like catchers in baseball, because catchers always get the tough end of it, because, you know, they're down there for nine innings getting beat up, and a lot of times, you know, they don't get the big contracts and all those different things, and the running backs have to use their body and physically beat it up. But once you get to 27 or 28 years old, then you struggle to find you know, teams willing to give you money or anything like that. And so that's where I think that it's just real tough. And I think what it comes down to, and particularly now more so nowadays, you look at two-thirds of the league, and pretty much the starting running backs are all with all in their rookie contracts. You know, drafted from either 2017 to 2020. That's about two-thirds of the league right now. And the other running backs, and once you get past 28, the numbers keep coming down as far as the pay that you get.
Bell is 28, by the way.
Yeah.
So no Thursday night game. What will you do, like a Netflix documentary?
No, let's see. It's been so crazy this week. I mean, we had some heavy winds and rains and all that stuff, so the power went out about four times in Monday and Tuesday, and so I'm so far behind as far as catching things up on work and, you know, constantly trying to make sure that my wife's hospital bed isn't screaming for low pressure, and, you know, Alexa's gone out for her like about four times. So it's been a little crazy. So go out, you know, kind of continue working on some of the database stuff and studying things, because it's a bye week here, so I have a chance to now kind of look ahead and see what more things I can kind of investigate. And so, you know, nothing big, and maybe getting a little sleep.
All right.
Sleep would be good.
Sleep, underrated.
Yeah.
By the way, for no particular reason, Joe, our producer, you talk to Joe every week before you come on, he and I are wondering about what the status of Rashad Penny is.
It's, my neighbor, Rashad Penny.
Is he your neighbor?
He lives about he rents about eight houses away from where I am. So,
did he lose power?
I'm inclined to give you that absolutely. On neighbor then. That's a neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, no, in fact, this is a water, is a real nice area, right? And we're right on the water, and really like about, I don't know, 10-minute walk from the Seahawks facility. And so he's doing well. I mean, he's right on schedule to come off the PUP list on the week seven.
Week seven.
And then they'll start integrating him back. And, you know, I know, because I'll drive by and I'll see him out there with a San Diego State shirt on, you know, and then, you know, just walking around, or maybe occasionally walking over to the facility.
Which is odd because he went to Clemson, but so you'll see him in the – no, I'm just kidding. You'll see him in the neighborhood. Would you – yes or no, he's active for week seven?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he will be, because, you know, I know that Pete Carroll, particularly 2-3 weeks into the season, was saying how well things were going for him. So I think there's a decent chance. Now, how active he'll be, probably not a lot in the game, just from the standpoint that, you know, ahead of him, you've got Chris Carson, you also have Carlos Hyde, and so he'll then be the third running back.
You wouldn't need Hyde anymore if Penny's right, but I hear you. Carson's done very well.
Yeah.
All right.
He really is.
Bulldog, you good? We all set?
I'm all set.
Joe, anybody else you want to ask about?
I think it's it.
All right. Thank you, John.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. John Clayton's appearance with us here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, and by Leah Honda. You'll love the deals at Leah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.